All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, we've had a long and storied career of randomizing things, okay?
It's true. We're the most random boys in the business.
Yeah. They call us the kings of random, you know? We got this crown with gems that blink in and out of existence.
Yeah, randomly. Yeah.
Ooh, a chaos crown. Pretty good.
We should
file that one away, but I've got to say.
You mean the chaos crown? Chuckled Obama.
But I mean, you know, I feel like we've done a lot. We've been trying to say a bunch of different things by randomizing with eggs, with dart boards, with Ouija
eggs
boards.
Yeah.
Eggs again, you know, just any of those. And I really think it's time for us to really put a pin in it. Okay.
Okay.
And I think that we need to have a magnum opus of randomization. Okay. Kind of incorporates all the themes and really gets at something that is kind of bigger than anything else we've done. Okay.
You're not suggesting an egg toss, are you?
Well, Gary,
I can scarcely imagine.
Let's take a look at what we've got here. All right. So I'm going to take this egg and I'm going to crack it.
Okay.
And what's inside of there, Gary? It's a coin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
We should flip it.
Yep. So I'm going to flip it.
Okay.
And oh boy, Gary, it's not coming back down.
Oh, no, just did somebody
up,
catch
up,
it?
Up it goes. Nope. It just, yep, it's gone.
It's sacrilegious.
Well,
it's we can pull something out of the old back pocket.
I can't outdo that again. I thought that was going to be it, but we kind of fucked it up.
There are things that many people wanted you to see, but did not see it.
Oh,
Luke. 1024.
Wait a minute. No, that gives me an idea. I can go, what's the game that the most people have recommended for the show?
It is the thing that many people wanted you to see, but you did not see it.
Yeah, but I was not genetically predisposed to see the message. No, Gary, the game that most people have recommended, and in fact, the game that was suggested by this month's raffle winner is M. Dickey's magnum opus, the U Testament.
The Who Testament?
The.
No, you got to say the U Testament.
The U Testament.
You said you, referring to me. The correct answer is the U Testament. I'm okay. I'm pretty into this. This is, you know, one of the better games we've done for the show. I'm pretty into most of what this thing is trying to do.
Would you call it a flawed gem?
I don't even know. I don't know where to start or where to end. Like, it is. I don't know what to call it or what to do about it. I have no bead on any of this.
Neither do I.
And it's not like I didn't. It's not like I didn't try.
This game, Gary, we need to get into this as quickly as possible.
Okay. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And you are M. Dickey. And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the home of the Monte Cristo burger, and the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Oh boy.
Leave your PC police at the door.
We're
the bad boys of podcasting are at it again.
Yep, where we play Legends so you don't have to.
Why didn't we save this for episode 150? But that's okay, because it is because this was a raffle winner.
Yeah,
this is the kind of thing, if you donate to our Patreon, you get to choose games we play.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pick this thing, which is great, because this is something that I've had in the periphery of my conscience forever without actually getting into it.
So it definitely bubbled up around the time we did the zoo race.
Yes.
Just as kind of a companion piece, but I think that these are really opposite ends of every spectrum you could imagine.
It is. The only thing that's similar is it's hard to tell exactly where the creators are coming from, or like how much, like I believe this guy is genuine, but what a weirdo. Like what can you imagine meeting like oh yeah, he went to my high school. Do you think that's true of anybody? Like, do you think anybody could say that about M. Dickey? Because I feel like matt@mdickey.com is really something special.
Yeah, I think he's unknowable.
He, like a certain bearded someone. So this is gonna be one of those things where like we're in really, really well trod territory, right?
Yes.
Like if you go on YouTube, there's a lot of like, we're the screaming boys and we're gonna scream at games, or like, you know, we're the diarrhea farts and we're gonna
the fart diary
over it up. It's my diarrhea fart diary.
I thought you said the fart diary. Okay, there we go.
That's the chronicles of the diarrhea farts YouTube channel. That's okay. The companion channel, only available on RedTube.
Yep, RedTube. That's the one. That's the one that's on.
Yeah, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Or is it YouTube Red? There we go. RedTube is the one that's all about
RedTube. I believe that RedTube is the disturbingly named porn streaming site.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of them that have tube in the name, because there's also Tube 8, which like just gonna confuse some poor London public transit user. He's accidentally gonna find some
that is a fraught Google.
Busty amateurs, yeah. No need to Google. Yeah. Unless you're in the market for busty amateurs, and then
yeah, well, you know,
that's a good place to find them.
Yeah, no, head that away. Yeah, no, I mean, RedTube, like they're making porn sound like a trip into a Silent Hill hallway.
It does sound like you're going into some kind of red tube. yeah, like I mean, it's like a red light district YouTube mashup, but like
right.
Tube is not. I don't feel like this is an accepted suffix.
No.
You know, like there's not like, you know, game tube. Like there's no like tube is not something. It's just YouTube. That's the only tube thing. So a lot of people talked about this guy and this game, and I've seen images of it forever.
Oh, yeah.
Without even really knowing what it was. And I was thinking of some kind of like machinima thing. You know, I didn't think there's actually a game behind it. And the cool thing about the U Testament is after you sit down to play it, and then you go back and you look at this guy's gameography, it's like an amazing trail of breadcrumbs that like perfect. It like somehow it's like the only way in which the U Testament makes sense.
Yep.
Is if you look at steps like, and it's like steps like 1 through 20, like there's so many things that led to the U Testament and they're all part of it.
Yep. It is the culmination. He is not only standing on the shoulders of giants, he is standing on his own shoulders.
Yes. He's standing on his shoulders time and time again.
Yep.
He's the swapping in this shit.
Yep. And so, shoulders. And so when you go to his website, I don't want to jump the gun by bringing mdiki.com into the equation soon.
We could do the, like I was thinking about this guy in these games, and like this could be a spinoff series.
Oh
like,
yeah.
If we wanted to, we could do like every other episode of this show for about half a year on his books, YouTubes, and games, yeah. And probably be fine and have shit to work with.
We would not hit the bottom. We wouldn't scrape it. This is just the tip, like the tippy top. Yes. But not even that, because then like right after this, right after he quit making games, he decided I'm coming back to make a game about Muhammad.
Yeah, which is also offensive and weird to people. Like, this is a religious game, but like, if you are mad at us for making fun of this game because you think we're making fun of religion,
no,
like, no, this game is not not treating religion with any kind of respect.
No,
it is less respect than us.
Exactly, it is so wildly all over the road that I got offended, even though I'm not a believer. I'm like, just from a factual standpoint. Like from a factual and like a missing the point. Like, I don't know, like what kind of, I can't tell what stance he's taking.
Yeah.
I can't tell what his posture is by combining these disparate elements and just getting everything wrong.
It is, cause I do think he's a true believer. I think this is a religious man.
Okay. Right?
So like, and the way that what I'm basing that on is like his books, and like, if not, it's like in The Prestige where like they go see the old Chinese magician and he's got the fishbowl between his legs, and they see him outside and they're like, this is the act. It's his everyday life. That's the act. It's not actually on stage.
Right.
Like that's what's going on here. Cause if this guy's not a true believer, he has put in so much work into kind of just being like a really weird, really misguided Christian that doesn't seem to understand much in general.
And he's very mealy mouthed about kind of committing to one thing. Like when you read the website copy about this, not only does his write up on the U Testament read like he's reviewing his own game, talking about like, oh, you see, you'll see where M. Dickey, me, brought in all of these elements from a hard time or whatever, or you know how like this is the culmination of the wrestling game kind of thing. But like that's one thing that's a problem with it. But the other thing is like he's trying to play like a Star Wars Wars instigator, or sorry, a South Park instigator, a Star Wars instigator. Yes, he's Emperor Palpatine.
It's one of some dance puppets ship that's shaped like a letter. Yep. Like a squad of instigators. Oh no.
No, instigators are it's a bunch of powder that they drop in the atmosphere, and when it lands and hits water, it turns into alligators. Yeah. But no, like it's very hard because he's like, oh, I'm just trying to be provocative. I'm getting out here and saying what I think needs to be said.
Yeah. And well, so specifically in his books, like, I mean, getting down into his personality, we should probably split this up into parts.
Yes, we should.
Because so let's split this up into thirds. Let's talk about the New Testament. Then let's talk about his kind of promotion and personality and stuff.
Okay.
And then talk about his other products.
Okay.
As it comes out of that, because I don't want to get it, everything could bleed into other things, and it would be very easy to just kind of go down this rabbit hole of Amazon reviews of his atheism book called A Fearism. Because atheists are just as scared, and he doesn't know what a portmanteau is.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah. As opposed to his much better one about sports, which is like a better portmanteau, but still just like.
What's the sports one called?
Where is it at? It's pretty great. Is it under products? Yes, it is. It is called Sportuality, which is portmanteau of sports and spirituality. Wow.
So I wasn't aware. I was definitely not aware of his body of work vis-a-vis literature. I assume self-published on Amazon.
Yeah, they're self-published on this website. You used to be able to, you can get them on Amazon. So yes. And they used to be able to read them online for free on this website, but it goes to broken pages now, which bums me out because I was going to read a chapter.
No, but if he's out there writing screeds against atheists, then yeah, that puts him in a pretty in a pretty predictable spot.
It's pretty, I mean, we'll get to it, but it's pretty great because the Amazon reviews, only the ones where he's writing screeds against atheists are the ones where atheists like seriously take him to task for his points. Everyone else realizes it's a joke, but it's internet atheists who are going to like,
oh yeah, they'll
be morons about it. Yeah. So let's talk about the New Testament. Here's a sad story. The New Testament played so terribly for me that I don't feel like I got the best experience.
Oh, no,
like
neither
did I. My frame rate was like 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were many points in the New Testament where it was like a slideshow. I don't know if it's like, because I watched YouTubes of people playing it much more smoothly.
Yes.
I don't know what I could have done differently. And you can't troubleshoot for it. It's not that kind of game.
Nope. No, there's not a support section. There's no, there's a readme, but it doesn't talk about optimization. Like, and God help you if you accidentally move the mouse, because is the free look and that changes all the frames. And I had to try and escape out of it, but because of the low frame rate, it wouldn't register any of my presses, so it just hard locked my computer until it finished the swoop it was on.
Yeah, don't touch the mouse. Don't do anything once the New Testament's running. Like
install it, then uninstall it.
It's a cheat code. We beat it. The when you because fights will just start happening in this, and we'll get to why that happens in this religious video game. Yep. And once that happens, the frame rate even got slower.
Mm-hmm.
So everything would end up being this kind of like chaos that was such a drain on the performance of the New Testament that I had to just run to another map.
Oh, that but that would take forever as well.
It
would take 30 seconds to 1 minute, because as he says in the website, whenever you change maps, you have to I have to unload and reload all of the objects because it's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
No, it's not. You just don't know how to not
that way. You don't know how to program. Like, yes, it's impressive that you're one guy.
A true independent.
Yes.
But
in his words, that's not cool.
Yeah, but so you've got to run to these maps. There are 32 screens, all of which are kind of touted as being these very advanced maps with indoor, outdoor geometry. With people, with everybody, with their own schedules and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. And they walk around. There's kind of a story I could never made very much. So we got to do character creation first, though.
Oh yes.
Because and I could never get it to go because of that frame rate problem. I just needed to get into the game. But it's like a world without eyelids. Like it's like that's the first thing to go as you turn 18. Your eyelids go. So everyone has these like real, they're real beef boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all have these real weird blank expressions with huge, wide, circular eyes. Mm-hmm.
Perfectly circular eyes.
You know, and no blinking or anything. No, mm-hmm. No eyelids.
Sometimes completely bloodshot too.
A lot of times, and you can make your guy, you know, kind of fat and have him come from different places and give him. And you are playing one of the disciples of Jesus like a new disciple.
Yes.
And you start out in the land.
You're
and
the rookie.
You are. It's, you got a Methuselah rookie card, and you head down to the river where some doings are transpiring.
Yes, there's a false prophet doing some doing some baptismals.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to take us back for a second. There is blinking, and there is eye movement. Except he took a shortcut. He didn't animate any eyelids. What happens is the eyes actually recede into the skull mesh.
Okay.
And clip through it. So what you're seeing is the eyes just kind of like slowly irising down as it clips through.
And, it is.
And also, as he talks about on his website, again, just kind of hitting these key things, this came at a cost because he had to rig every character with their eyes in the same position and the same expressions in order to get this kind of animation, because he didn't know how to rig or puppet any different configurations from character to character. So that's why most of the faces look the same, aside from like the decals that make the nose and the mouth.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. It's the kind of thing you might do for like a different kind of game, like a professional wrestling game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like that might be the mood you'd make, or the move you'd make. And if you had made a professional wrestling game and you liked two things in life, wrestling and Jesus, this is that culmination of that. This is that end of that equation, because all these are wrestling models.
Yeah, this is the saddest Reese's piece.
It is on. So like, what happens? You go down the river, and that's how you do the story. I've seen the story on YouTube. The story is incredible. Where like Jesus teaches you magic powers, like
magic tricks.
The premise of this game is that Jesus did all those things through magic. He used Eastern spirituality to kind of learn how to meditate and stuff, including levitate. Including my favorite thing that is actually awesome is that he can show you how to really see the world, and it changes everything to wireframes.
Yeah, that's some Kojima shit.
That is great. Yep. Like, that is so cool.
And
why is it hidden in this game?
You bet your ass he talks about it on the site.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I mean, you know, take a bow, but Jesus Christ, buddy. I mean, this we will get into this guy talking himself up a little bit, because this guy is pretty full of himself for somebody who has just created an internet joke.
Yeah. it's so hard not to hit that where it's relevant to the actual game. Going back to the magic, like the magic tricks, this isn't just like miracles. It's called miracles. but they're brought about by this incredible misunderstanding of Hinduism.
Yes.
And if you go into a little bit of reading, like in some of the interviews and stuff, he talks about how this is actually plausible, that Jesus's powers came from unlocking his prana, because we never hear about him between the ages of like 12 and 28. So he subscribes to this theory, and he cites a book that says that that Jesus, during those intervening years, went to India and basically learned Hindu mysticism and came back with full on Dalsim powers.
Okay, I'll take it.
But he gets the Hinduism stuff wrong too. So.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, like, and it doesn't inherently bother me that he's mashing up a bunch of different religions. You know, like
I just want to know to what end, because he's also talking about molecular structures.
Exactly. Is it
like I don't know what worldview this is espousing.
Like, you could do this kind of thing. That's the point, is that it's got the tone and kind of presentation of something that is trying to moralize a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or teach you, and it's even everything about it is saying like, hey, this is you know, the only way the Confucius quote at the beginning, like, the way to learn is to do, you know, this is like, you're supposed to be learning about something. What do you learn? Like, there's nothing you learn from this, you know. Like, you could do a purely entertainment based product that just like takes a bunch of religious shit and mashes it together, and it happens all the time in Final Fantasies, right?
Yeah,
like that's fine. That's not the part that bothers me, is that it's inaccurate. Mm-hmm. It's that it has the presentation and tone of something that would be accurate or should be accurate.
Right,
you know, and that's what makes it so weird.
You would think there would be some wood behind that arrow. Like, this is nothing but, like I was about to say, it was nothing but point, but it has no point.
It's just the feathers. And then the what actually happens in the play is incredible, because it's like, it's so hard for me to think that this isn't like that Texas sharpshooter, like drawing a bullseye around the arrow you hit or the spot you hit, because like the AI and your moveset in this only, like, I can't imagine a game of the New Testament not devolving into brawls, like huge, huge melees.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, that's really all that I can think that you do. Like, eventually you can go around and like levitate around and set people on fire and shit with your mind. But if, until then, like, it's just like, I'm going to walk up to somebody. Somebody's going to not like the look of me and they're going to come up and ask for my food. If I don't give it to them, they take it with violence. And then I punch somebody on accident, or you punch somebody who is keyed to be somebody else's friend and start a fight with them. And I'm just constantly, it's like the Incredible Hulk, the old TV show. Like, my experience with this is getting into fights because I misunderstood and then running to another area to start over again and just having the same thing happen again and again, just like Lou Ferrigno.
And that system of everybody having friends and asking favors comes from his prison simulator, Hard Time.
And some of the, and the move system is from his numerous wrestling games. Like, he likes wrestling a lot. These characters punch like wrestlers. They kick on the ground and stuff. One of my favorite bits is they reuse this grapple to be a hug, which, as far as I could tell, could make peace, but it didn't always work. Like, sometimes if you punch somebody, like, it is, you can't really describe how hilarious this game is in motion, though, because that big eye thing means everyone's giving you the stink eye, like, all the time. It's like you're at, like, a really bad drug dealer's house, and things are about to go down, like, constantly. You just, like, walk by, they just give you this eye, and then they walk up and say, like, hey, give me that bread. You don't deserve it more than I do.
Everybody's an owl who has seen some shit.
Yeah, thousand-yard owls. Like, you get a spell in this that lets you turn anything into food or make it so you can eat anything. That's incredible. I didn't get that, but I really wanted to like go around and steal people's knives, because you can take things from people in combat. They get mad at you. If you say no, you can eat the thing. Like that character where it's just like you grab a knife and they say like, give me that knife. It's not yours. And you say no, and then eat it in front of them.
That's not a knife. That's a, that's a candy ball.
That's a biscotti. And then I just like that as a verb set is worth celebrating. Like that being in the possibility space of this game is worth celebrating, I think.
You can get caught in crimes, and you have a 50-50 chance of either being let go, let go with your hand chopped off or your eyes gouged out, or being crucified. And every cross bears the letters INRI, which is which stands for Jesus, King of the Jews, or Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, or something like that. That is specifically meant for one person.
That code is left over in his Muhammad game too. So when people in that game get crucified, it keeps the same text.
Maybe he's just trying to draw some comparisons, right?
He's saying stuff. It's just up to us whether we see it. He's like the original Luke 10:24.
And speaking of saying stuff, so you're running around between all of these places looking for Jesus. Like, this is the actual critical path for this is a Jesus fetch quest, right? And in between all the zones, you get quotes.
Yes.
Now, this is the most pretentious thing about this that is so misguidedly, again, misguided is the watchword for this, but is so misguided in how profound it is trying to be. And one of the quotes that you get a lot actually really hammers home where this stuff is coming from, which is a quote from Anonymous saying, "Why has M. Dickey committed career suicide with a game about religion? I wish he'd return to wrestling." Which I saw that, and I momentarily had a flash, and I was like, wait a minute, that's what people are saying when they tell us to stick to games. Are we telling M. Dickey to stick to wrestling by making fun of this? But no, we're not.
I'm celebrating. I don't want to. I didn't play his wrestling game. Like, his wrestling game, I'm not interested in. I'm interested in the game where you can use magic to eat people's knives. Like, that's the game I want.
Yeah.
Or when I can't go upstairs. Or, God, what? Like, this is like a weird emergent storytelling kind of engine, right? Like, weird things can happen that are like great little short stories. Like, somebody, I had a knife, somebody came up and took it from me, and I'm like, you know, ask for it, and if you don't take the knife, it's like dun 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 dun, like the Incredible Hulk has to go to another place if a fight starts, because eventually it's going to get out of his hands. So I gave him the knife, then that same person turned around and gave me the knife as a gift. I took it, and then they punched me.
Don't take the stick.
Yeah, and I don't, but he just gave me a knife, so I stabbed him a bunch, and then accidentally stabbed someone. Like, a guy from off camera came like hovering in on one leg. like just like from the side field of view, and everyone's got these eyes that are really wide. Like, it's really funny and kind of great. It is, it is bonkers. Yep. Like, it is really fun, kind of bonkers game that I wish ran, like, give me 15 frames per second. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't.
Yeah, make this like an old Disney short. Like,
yeah, I'll take that. But like, this is just, I wish it ran at a playable frames per second, because like, I could have fun with this game, I think.
Yeah, I put about 40 minutes into it trying to play it, and I got like my first set of powers through the meditation. And I was like, you know what? I need to see more of this. I'm not getting anywhere. So I just watched most of a playthrough on YouTube.
Yeah, and good luck trying to find some playthrough by somebody who doesn't think they're a comedy genius.
Yeah, the one that I found that was like a walkthrough, the guy got tired of it halfway through and said, okay, yeah, I'm done. 8 out of 10. And he was doing a pretty good job too. He was dismissive. He was calling out the stuff that was really bad. But it's like, oh, come on, I just wanted to like jump around in your shit.
Yeah, man, I wish this game had a jump.
No, you don't.
I really do. Like, if you could jump,
yeah,
I want to jump kick these fools. Like, and people were just randomly jumping around with one leg, like, or their eyes gouged out, just like going down to the river to like pick up river knives, hand them out to the river friends.
Yep, to the river people.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about M. Dickey as much as we can fit into like about 7 minutes or so.
Okay. Yeah. And here's the thing, because I don't know if we're going to be able to get all of this in. There
no,
may
we're,
need to
we're
be.
Not.
No, they're like we're not. Like there's going to have to be. There's going to come a day we're going to put our thumb on the scale and put another M. Dickey in here, because I really want to play that game making one.
Yeah. That's really awesome. And then also I want to read a little bit of his writing. I want to find some copies of his YouTubes where they haven't had all of the sound removed from them. Because you can watch. He created a documentary of himself, a decade of Dickey on YouTube. But there's no sound because.
Oh, did he use copyright?
Yeah. And it's just, so there's not one up there that doesn't have the sound. But is it copyright against himself? Like, what is he, you know, yeah. It's all just his own games.
He probably used licensed music.
Mm, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, but so M. Dickey, it sounds like you've done a little bit more research on him than I have. It's hard for it was hard for me to find anything that was not from him, because he's like the Eternity's Child guy in that he is his own most vocal proponent, and he tends to drown out most other people.
Why is this guy less annoying to me than the Eternity's Child guy though? Like, I think because his crime is interesting rather than bland.
I think so, you know? Too. I think that is definitely the case. And also, like, I hate to say it, I think that he seems a little bit more simple and pure than the other guy. He seems like
like a Green Mile sense, right? Like kind of,
but also like just like his single-minded fixation.
Yeah.
Like there is that pretension, but like, I don't know if it seems to come from a more genuine place or what. I feel like I'm doing a very bad job of like summing up this guy's character, but you're right. Like he does upset me less, maybe because I have a soft spot for somebody who's done the work, even if it's bad work.
It's really American movie. Like
yeah,
somebody
that's
who,
the
like,
thing
truly believes in themselves like this much, who is like, and actually, like you said, like actually did it. Like he made these things.
Yeah.
But he's just like,
it's funny when he was talking about rearranging the molecules, all I could think of was that scene in American Movie where Mark Borchardt's like, you know what, man, I'm a Christian and a Satanist, 50-50. And like, I believe in Christ, but also the pursuit of human ideals. It's like, you're just cobbling together what works for you, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, you do you.
That's what we're all doing. Yeah. You're just saying it.
Yeah, you are
Dickey for Prez.
Yeah. Dickey's saying what we're all thinking. I don't care that he's not a citizen of the United States. I don't care that he inserts these quotes from Obi-Wan Kenobi and Kanye West alongside Jesus. Like, that is more egregious than the fucking juxtaposing Gandhi and Dick Cheney quotes in Call of Duty 4 to me.
So on his about page, so most of what I did my research, I read a couple interviews with him, but it's mostly from his website, but he comes off the same way, right? So like, he drowns out, like Dickey is Dickey. Mm-hmm. There's no getting around Dickey. On the about section on his webpage, quote from Bruce Lee, the creative individual is more important than any established style or system. Since the turn of the 21st century, this site has charted my attempts to redefine what individuals can achieve in gaming. Embodying the dictionary definition of independent, I preside over every inch of the project, from the design and the programming through to the graphics and even the music.
Notice he doesn't say testing.
From that vantage point, I've been able to satisfy my thirst for innovation. This guy is a pitch. Mm-hmm.
This is what plays over the PA when he enters the ring.
Yeah. Yep. Which, I mean, like, just, but again, it's just sad if you think about him as a little kid, like, imagining this. Mm-hmm. It makes me kind of like him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's like a little kid playing with wrestling action figures and just like praying to God that someday he'll be a famous game designer, like, that makes me like him.
Yeah.
I like him now. It is very hard for me not to like this guy.
Well, what makes me like him less is the picture that's to the left of the copy that you're reading, which has in the foreground, we have a skinny person with what appears to be it's kind of a male rights hat a little bit.
Yeah, that's him. He's a fedora guy.
Yeah, cocked down over his face. He's wearing a shirt that says "Rise Above the Hate" in red, white, and blue. And then behind him, there's a portly gentleman with a scraggly chin beard and glasses, wearing a shirt that says "Worst Game Ever." So
I've
he is
punch him in the back of the head.
Yes, he is definitely riding in here and taking on all the haters.
He is very much taking on the haters. That fedora thing is his signature look.
Yeah,
like he appears. So that's the main guy who's on that under development, which is the game about making games that we have to do at some point. 100%. Kind of moving through. There's just too much to cover everything. He released all his source code for all of these games. So if anybody wants to do anything with them, you
texture
can.
Texture swaps.
Like, I would love a U Testament playable, like U Testable redacted. That'd be amazing. There are cheat codes. So I ended up using the one that allows you to refill your health.
Yeah.
A lot when I was playing U Testament.
I ended up having to use the mental health one because when it drops down to the bottom, you fall down into a full on panic attack and you start attacking people around you at random.
God, so good. The soundtrack for all the games are available.
All four songs.
Well, for this game, but then there's a bunch of other games. He's his portmanteau game. He has a game called Ourmageddon. O-U-R. In the short time that its appeal lasted, the M. Dickey Show did capture the imaginations of some people. What a modest statement. The speech-laden gameplay was a treat for editors, and a couple of underground musicians even went so far as to put the words to music. Man.
Wait a minute. So is he talking about like a YouTube parody video?
They pledged their allegiance to body bags.
Whoa. What a treasure this guy is. Can you imagine? What if I wish we could spread this out? So, like, when we were doing, you know, Skywolf or whatever, or Sky Captain, like, oh, the guy who made Sky Captain made a remix of one of his games with the vocal samples, and like just a little bit of this instead of getting it all at once.
Yeah. That reminds me, we also need to play TalkSport Clash of the Titans.
Oh man, I will play TalkSport. So he's got in his section on press, he's got a bunch of stuff from school papers, but he's ended up in some like actual games. So Hard Time was an indie pick of the month in Games for Windows Magazine.
Ooh.
So that's kind of crazy. Like
he was in Game Developer Magazine in September of 2012. I think that I have this issue.
Oh, really?
Maybe. I need to go see it.
Gotta make a montage or a collage.
Yep. Out of the one sentence that he probably has about the wrestling revolution.
His section on history opens with a quote, "The key to immortality is to first live a life worth remembering." he has year by year retrospectives that are like these essays, including ones about his childhood where it shows him like playing with little wrestling toys and drawing like these adorable little like comics that he's drawn and design documents and stuff. Like I can't dislike this guy.
It's really hard. Did you see the 9/11 interview?
Oh, no.
So in the interview section, there's an interview just titled the 9/11 interview. M. Dickey is from I believe he lives in England or Great Britain, whichever one of those is more accurate for the situation, but he's not American. On some pages his logo is overlaid with an American flag.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And here is why, because he has this little interview that's mostly about like, hey, how experienced are you and with making games, and talks about Arab looking wrestlers in his game Federation Online. But what are your thoughts on this whole U.S. tragedy and the war? Well, you may have noticed that I've temporarily Americanized my logo as a mark of respect. I may be British, but it's common knowledge that at least 80% of my audience is American, so I felt I should address it in some way. Being a huge wrestling fan for the past 10 years, whose only heroes are American, I have developed a lot of admiration and respect for the country. So thank you. He's on our side.
Thanks, bud.
It has long been my intention to move to America. And fortunately, my career in video games is proving to be the perfect excuse to do that. When that time comes, I will have the honor of living in an America that has overcome this tragedy and grown stronger still.
Why is this so sad? So he's made a bunch of, we do have to keep moving because, like I said, there's too much to cover. So people who want the entire M. Dickey canon in this episode, we can't do it. I don't have time to do a zoo race style, like hour and 10 minute episode of this, yeah, or Action 52 style. But his product section, you can buy his entire gamography and his books and all of his music and everything on one DVD ROM for $10.
The
Rise and Fall of the Empire with E, or just with M, no E.
Gary, that is so sad. Why is that so sad?
I don't know. It is just him burning everything that he's done, like just his folder of like output. He just like drags onto a DVD. Like you get everything, like the 3D models for everything. Like you can, you know, mess with every, like do whatever you want. All of the videos, all of the Flash games, all of the DOS games that he's done comes with DOSBox, which like just means he just threw an installation of DOSBox on there.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. But most notably, and the thing I wanted to mention was his books. Which are, as we mentioned, Sportuality, former game designer, because he stopped for a little while, but now he's back doing iOS stuff.
He's back and better than ever.
Yep. Matt Dickey turns his attention to games of a different kind in this lighthearted exploration of man's favorite pastime. In his new role as a religious educator, he draws out the spiritual significance of sport and gives us a parable for fit for the 21st century. From the nature of existence and the meaning of life to the benefits of meditation and the key to success, no stone is left unturned in this extraordinary interpretation of the world's major faiths. Sportuality will turn your passion for sport into a passion for a life well lived. So, like, I would like to read a chapter of that.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
He does one. He just kind of wrote an anti or autobiography, essentially, Inspiration for the Interactive Generation, in which, like, I'm sure he wrote this text. Gaming's most outspoken character finally speaks out about himself.
Finally. Oh my God. He wrote something about himself
for almost a decade.
We got Thomas fucking Pynchon over here opening up the kimono.
Matt Dickey's electrified the games industry with his prolific output. Like, it is, there's something about being this misguided that, like,
it's.
And then, but finally, aphorism, the ignorance of atheism, at a point in time when every other person is an unblinking atheist.
Well, no, they're not.
Aphorism offers the most cogent argument against the movement yet. Dispensing with philosophical jargon and pretentious posturing, religious educator Matt Dickey brings a refreshing dose of common sense to the debate. He exposes the ignorant assumptions made by the cynical mind and reveals the arguments against religion to be anything but rational. As the title of the book suggests, he considers atheism to be an irrational fear of religion and leaves us in doubt, in no doubt that we should embrace, or leaves us no doubt that we should not embrace such a negative worldview. And if you click on the sample chapter, you can't get it, but you can still buy this, or it's out of print. So I don't know if you can actually buy it, because it wasn't an ebook, apparently on Amazon. And then a bunch of reviewers taking this guy to task, including this piece of shit. He was like, are we in a wheat field? Because there are definitely a lot of straw men here. Like, God, is this punching down?
God,
like,
reviewing
this book is punching down so hard.
Yeah.
Don't engage Matt Dickey like on a critical level.
Yeah. And I know that I was just going moaning in anguish as you were reading that copy, because like it just again, it's so misguided. I'm going back and forth between like finding the guy endearing. It's just a rapid oscillation between pathos and rageos.
Yeah.
And I know that like this is kind of what he feeds on, right? You know, again, fuck the haters.
Yeah.
You know, so yep. It's you know, I just, I know that it's like that, but like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It is, there's so much here. Like we should come back. Like, so we will come back and do another Matt Dickey episode.
Yeah.
We'll play another one of his games. And our homework assignment is one of us needs to find a way to read part of one of these books.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we have to split that DVD-ROM and we have to watch one of these documentaries about his life, because God, do I have to hear the narration of that?
Oh, definitely. It's, you know, it's him.
Like who's like 30 or 40 making a documentary of their life.
I don't know.
It's insane. Like he's a cartoon. It's really crazy.
It like just the, again, you know, in a glass house throwing stone, the obsessive self cataloging of this and like just putting it up there as though he is preserving it for future generations. It's just, I don't know that it's.
There's the picture, the cover of Inspiration for the Interactive Generation, which has a really high, lots of stars on Amazon. It's just a picture of his face, and he does not look as nearly as punchable as maybe you might think.
No, he just looks like a dude.
He just looks like a dude.
Like a short-haired, smiley dude.
For spirituality, though. Because that's pretty great. That's a good image.
Spirituality.
I don't know where he's at in this. Like, it's like he's training a team of some sort of Eastern like basketball youth league, and they're all having a super happy fun time, kind of blue screened in front of some woods.
Are you talking about? Oh no, there is a book called Sportuality written by Gene Hess, which has a bunch of hands reaching out from a basketball court.
Run! I think that's different.
is it Sportuality with an S?
Yes. Yeah, Sportuality. I got to it from mdickey.com.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
/products.
Huh. No, HTML. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he just looks like a dude.
Yeah. Huh. You just like, I want to hear him talk. I want to know more. Like, at the very least, he has not done anything to make me more Christian.
No.
He's perhaps done more to get me on board with Matt Dickey and way of thinking.
I really think that this is a situation where like if you met the dude, it would probably be okay. Like
or
if
it would
he
just
wasn't
be really interesting.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, like you'd meet him and you'd be like, "Whoa."
you know what? Here's where I'm getting annoyed. I think he's making meditation worse.
Okay.
By trying to combine it hodgepodge with all this other stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if I cared about any of the things that he cares about, I would feel like he was maybe not doing them justice.
Yeah.
And like I will meditate. Like that's something I do, but I don't actually care about its honor.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying that like it doesn't I'm not heavily invested in that.
Yeah.
Or Christianity or wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's like it's or prisons or talk shows or anything that like his weird collection of like.
Yeah. His weird collection of like, let's be honest here, existential paraphilias.
Yeah. Five roles on the random interest table.
Yeah.
That he has.
Whew, man. I know that wrestling is entertaining and there are a lot like there's a resurgence in really liking indie wrestling and like, you know, like major wrestling and stuff like a lot of like my Twitter was blown up about WrestleMania and cool. But like, I just everybody knows those people who that is everything to them.
Yeah. And luckily, this guy at least has one other thing.
Yes, true.
So, I mean, that's about all the time we have for this.
Yeah.
I understand that we haven't covered everything. I mean, I don't know if people are listening understand that because we didn't digress at all. Like, this is laser focus. We did not cover everything. There will be a sequel to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
And
we're going to need to see it coming a while away because we're going to come back. Like the next bite at the apple is going to be wholehearted.
Like ordinarily, like because I give myself, you know, for an Abject Suffering game with playing the game and research, I give myself like an hour.
Yes.
You know, like it's not that much. And I was like, oh, it's that weird game with the eyes. Like, I'll play that. And did not expect this guy to literally write a press kit for this episode.
Right.
Like he's like given us everything we need to say.
Yep.
And I was just not, and I didn't have a chance to read it all because there's a lot of text on this website. Like,
yeah,
I did not expect to be given so much. it's a good problem to have, I guess.
But, to chew through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like it just, I came into this expecting another Zoo Race, like expecting it to be, I don't know, like just to be different, but like all this makes me want to do is to go play Zoo Race. again. I want to go back. I want to watch that video of that woman being very, very embarrassed about turning into a horse, because it's obviously that dude's fetish. I fucking know it. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to find you, Zoo Dog. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to put one of those meters on your cock that measures how hard it gets when I show you a woman turning into a horse.
You mean those ones that your insurance company will give you to lower your rates?
Yep.
So here's the thing, though, right? Like, who is Zoo Dog? Real good question. Who is Matt Dickey is also a really good question.
It's a good question, but it's one of those things that, like, who is Zoo Dog is almost like a koan, you know? It's unknowable. Like, there's a little bit out there, and you can see his work, and it is baffling in and of itself. But, like, who is Zoo Dog is an intriguing question because of a lack of text. Who is M. Dickey is a beguiling question because of a preponderance of it.
Yeah, like, too much stuff and contradictory evidence and everything. Like, we need to get, you know, A Beautiful Mind in on this shit. Like, I need to see a cork board with thread about just M. Dickey, and all it needs to be is like, nope, we need, like, the answer to that. You could have this very elaborate, you know, serial killer-esque chart, and then the end result would just be like, no, he just hangs out and watches TV like everybody else, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because, like, I don't even know what I'm imagining this guy coming back from, like, typing one of these screeds, and, like, what does he do? Like, what does this guy's life look like? It feels very alien to me.
Yeah. Gary, if we're not careful, M. Dickey will become to us as wrestling is to M. Dickey.
Oh, shit. It's like the Slender Man. Like, the way he comes after you is to get obsessed with it.
Puts a target on our back.
And then we create a game that combines M. Dickey and religion. Yeah, there where you form it's like
it's an Ouroboros.
It's a religious parable, but you accidentally make a bunch of weird games and self-promote. That's what the verb set is for your characters.
Yeah.
So who won this raffle?
So this was Evan. Thank you, Evan. For providing us the impetus to go into this. Just because, like, this is a vein word, like, that is never going to go dry.
No. We will come back. So, Evan, you got a weird bonus couple episodes down the line. Just like whenever we feel like revisiting, or after it's been an appropriate amount of time, we'll hit up the work of M. Dickey again.
Yeah,
I really do feel like $10 a network fund should probably go towards getting us both this DVD-ROM.
Oh, for God's sake, yes.
And before we do that, because then we can really research. Like,
yeah. Open up mine. I'm going to have it sent to the P.O. box because I do not want M. Dickey knowing where I live.
Just like, you just show you, like, yeah, I don't. I feel weird about that, too. I don't know why. So thank you, Evan. Yep. Thanks, everybody who is listening to this. Yep. We really appreciate it.
We had six. We had six people total request. The U Testament. So
it's up there with Action 52. It's like, this is one of those infamous ones to scratch off the list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you guys. If you like the show and you want to support it, if you want to get an extra episode per month, you can hit us up at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. And we have some announcements that you'll see soon or when this episode drops, but keep an eye on that because that is changing.
It will be a couple weeks ago by the time this episode drops. So
you keep an eye on your diary entries for that day.
Yes.
And remember what you thought.
Yeah. Remember all the goodwill you had for us.
Yeah.
Hopefully. If not, it's cool too. We're happy you're listening.
Yeah. Yeah. We recorded this beforehand, though. So if after you read that, if you're really mad and then you, like, told us to go fuck ourselves, and now this shows up in your feed, and you're like, those guys were supposed to fuck themselves. Why didn't they fuck themselves? It's because we're recording it in advance.
Yeah. It's a couple weeks out. So yeah. Sorry.
Pre-taped. But thanks, everybody. And then other things you can do, ratings, reviews on iTunes. You know, listen to our other shows.
Yeah. We've got Teenage Dirtbags. We've got The Level. We've got Those Damn Ross Kids. It's a whole network at duckfeed.tv.
Yeah. Yeah. Come join our growing family. Mm-hmm. Come become some of our Attic Sons at our Slack channel.
Yeah.
Our Jar Sons.
Yeah. And if you missed any of those premium episodes, they're up on the store at duckfeed.tv/store.
Yeah. And I think they're all worth it. They're all good so far.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be weird if I was like,
if it was bad, if they were bad, we would just re-record it.
Yeah, exactly. So they're good. So that's why they're up there.
Yeah.
Until next time, what should they do?
Just watch out for the M. Dickey hole, because it is deep and it is wide.
Don't go sound.
Don't go sound in the M. Dickey hole.